Yeah, they're not booing. They're booging. All right.
Boo Chumby.
Yeah, I don't, dude. Recovering fat guy. My bad. Now just sort of fat.
Cubs play-by-play man for the Marquee Network.
There's Boo. He is in the midst of working the third wall right now, is he not? He's going hard with the imaginary friend.
All the latest news and notes on the Chicago Cubs.
3-2, runner goes. That's drilled. High and deep right field. Blackman back. Walk it off. Rafael Ortega. Cubs win.
John Chumby.
What happened to the Boog person?
Boog Chumby with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
We're at the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. We will talk to Boog Chumby in a matter of moments. We hope, we think, we are scheduled to. He is a national broadcaster as well as that of the Cubs, so he will have national radio play-by-play assignments for your beloved baseball playoffs.
Some crazy stuff going on around the game, that's for sure. The Toronto Blue Jays are awfully good. Very, very young and very, very good. The American League is a wide and crazy mess. White Sox on opposite Yu Solo yesterday,
yes.
Danny, but throwing at Shohei Ohtani, and Tony La Russa saying there was nothing to it, but being disappointed and angry.
I don't think they were throwing at him. I don't think so.
Throwing near him. I don't mean that they were like directly throwing
at him.
That's
a big difference there. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. Hitting him.
Yeah, they hit him. Yeah, for sure.
They threw inside once and then hit him.
I don't think it was intentional, if that's what you're saying. Yeah.
No. But, you know, it's enough to get the dander going for everybody all around the game. That's for sure.
Yeah, Vlad Guerrero Jr. not winning MVP with a potential Triple Crown type season is pretty insane, right? He leads baseball in batting average, leads baseball in home runs, and is tied for third in all of baseball in runs driven.
You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't pitch. That's the thing.
Yeah. That's what he doesn't do.
If he also started like 23 games and had an ERA of, you know, a pretty good ERA.
Yeah, but I mean, Shohei Ohtani's been slumping a bit offensively. Uh-huh. I feel like it's at least a discussion. I understand the advanced metrics and he's doing something that literally Babe Ruth didn't even do. So yeah. I got no problem with Ohtani winning it, but Vlad Guerrero Jr. will put up a season at the end of this thing that would probably win what? 3 out of 5 MVPs?
Yeah, probably.
Right? It's a pretty crazy MVP race when you actually stop to look at it.
Yeah. No, there are a few seasons going on like that. Your boy Salvador Perez down there in Kansas City had a 45th home run yesterday.
He's going to put out, right? It's one more to break Johnny Bench's record for most home runs ever in a season by a catcher.
Uh-huh.
That is outstanding.
It's a small group, but it's a small group to begin with.
He's probably going to make the Hall of Fame. He's got to stay healthy, but he probably...
Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
He'll probably make it.
Yeah.
Right?
He's got a shot.
When you factor in...
The defense?
Well, the number of gold gloves, he could get to 300 home runs, the All-Star games, and World Series MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I feel like Salvador Perez is...
He's got a ways to go. He's got a ways to go, but he'll get there. But
that position, he's 31, right? 30.
Here's something I know you're not following around the game. Anything. No.
Obviously.
No. That's not true. But, I mean, there's some stuff going on that's really of interest, and luckily our guy knows many of those things.
I'm sure it's fascinating. Boog Chumby joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book.
Boog, have you ever dealt with... Hey, buddy. Have you ever dealt with the disingenuous condescension that I deal with every day from Danny Parkins? Have you ever had a partner that you just wanted to swat every day of your life?
I mean, disingenuous condescension. Yeah, I'm sure I have. Yeah, I'm sure I have. I don't know that it's quite... I mean, let's be clear. Danny's a heavyweight playing in that division, you know?
That's
like,
true.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. It's really impressive. He's up there with the best.
It's he wears that veil of pomposity, you know, and that's the way it goes.
I will be going into that Hall of Fame one day.
You will.
On the first ballot. I'll tell you something I was interested in, Boog. You were an ancillary character in the Jason Benetti Chicago Magazine profile piece of our mutual friend Jason Benetti. It was a fantastic piece. I want to know the story that Rick Sutcliffe was demanding that Benetti come over to your table to tell. I want to know the story.
I am absolutely not saying this as a throwaway when I tell you I have no idea which story it is that I've heard 9,000 times from Rick Sutcliffe that he tells over and over and over and over. I don't know which one of those stories it was. So I would love to help you out, but holy cow. Yeah.
I was working on something and they were trying to get a hold of Bill Murray, right? And everybody's like, hey, do you have a phone number for Bill Murray? And I was like, no, I don't, as a matter of fact. And somebody else was like, no, I don't. And they said, you know who does? I hear if you want to get to Bill Murray, you got to go through Rick Sutcliffe. Like, that's just the guy. Like, Sut knows
well, this
people
is
like
a true
that.
Story, though. So Sut likes to give me a hard time because, you know, he's more famous than I am. So he likes to just ask random people, do you know who John Shambi is? So we were at dinner one night, and he says, you know, something, he didn't like something. He said, I'm going to call Bill Murray right now, and I'm going to say, do you know who John Shambi is? And I'm like, all right, well, have at it. So Bill Murray picks up, and he says, do you know who John Shambi is? And then there's a pause, and Suck goes, you do? Oh. And then he hands me the phone, and I swear to you, this was the lone interaction. I just say hello, and then I recognize the voice on the other end of the phone is Bill Murray, and he says this to me. I just want you to know, we really appreciate all that you go through with him.
That's amazing.
And that was it. And I was like, I might want to get you to record that for a voicemail or something. He's like, we can work on it. I was like, all right, I'll talk to you later.
That's fantastic.
Like somebody has to babysit Sut when Murray's not around. Is that the implication there?
Oh, just like he understands what it's like when you're in the middle of it. Yeah.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Makes sense, man. Mm-hmm. We were talking that we hadn't spoken to you in a while. And yes, some people have pulled back their day-to-day attention to this Cubs team. Obviously, that is not something that you are able to do.
Right.
Curious, what have you seen post-trade deadline that you feel like will be relevant come, I don't know, say, spring training or opening day of next baseball season?
I mean, it's a pretty broad question, but there's nothing complicated about it. I think, you know, you want to see Hap finish the year, you know, swing well, but you still need him to start and swing it in spring training. I think same thing for Schwindel, same thing for Ortega, same thing for Wisdom. I think that there is, at least in part, I feel pretty good, you know, that all four of those guys can be helpful next year. I think, you know, then the next question becomes Alzolay, Steele, and Keegan Thompson. Are they starters or are they relievers or is one a starter and two or, you know, what is it? And I'm not sure yet. So they're going to need to figure some of that out. But I would say that, look, the Schwindel part of it has been pretty remarkable. He hasn't stopped hitting, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, as of game two of the series against the Phillies since the break, you know, one in OPS is Bryce Harper, two is Frank Schwindel. So he's hitting everything right on the good part of the bat. It's loud. It's been fun, and it's an aggressive approach. It's, you know, he doesn't strike out, which is great. He also doesn't, you know, walk a ton, but he can hit. And I think, you know, you sit there and you start to wonder, did somebody miss on this? So we'll see. It's certainly interesting that the Cubs effectively have three guys that all fit that profile, right? In Ortega, Wisdom, and Schwindel, that just, you know, at least part of their story is lack of opportunity.
But we've gotten to this point, Boog, and you're right, but we've gotten to this point now with Schwindel where the league stopped just giving him fastballs. You know, they've started to go after him with the breaking stuff. And once they started to do that with Wisdom, the strikeouts kind of started piling up a little bit. But Schwindel, like, His last 16 games, the OPS is still above 1.2. You know, it's like it's still happening now when they're going after him that way. So this is starting to feel sustainable, dare I say.
Yeah, I think that even, you know, the scouting report stuff, it happens so quickly so that they have an idea of what they think the holes are, you know, pretty fast. I think it's all credit to him. In watching it, it's been quite remarkable that he's been able to consistently hit the ball as hard and get the results that he's had. And doing it with this giant smile, and it couldn't be more wonderful to interact with a guy who's just appreciating the heck out of it.
Boog Jambi with us, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. Do you know yet your national playoff assignments for the radio broadcast?
I do, actually. I have the National League, so I have the National League wild card. I don't know whether that's been announced formally. So if somebody, you know, ends up circling back, you didn't get it from me.
We're breaking huge news here.
That's fun. That's fun. Yeah. So that could be Dodgers Padres, conceivably.
Right. That's right. It could be Dodgers Padres, and then it could be Dodgers Giants. I'll do ESPN Radio. I'll do the wild card game, the division series, and the LCS. So I think I'll be seeing a good amount of the Dodgers and the Giants in some way, shape, or form.
We asked John Morosi this, I think it was last week. They were the first team to clinch. They have the most wins in baseball, but it seems like there is still some degree of skepticism around how they got there. Do you consider this to be a great team, the San Francisco Giants?
Yeah. I mean, they're really good. They didn't fake their way through it, that's for sure. I think that the part – it's not going to come undone. I still think that head-to-head, I wonder if the Dodgers aren't better. And then the Brewers are going to give anybody that they face a really hard time. Look, the one part of what they did that I don't think they could have counted on is in Belt, Crawford, Posey, and Longoria, you have four guys who are 33, 34, 34, 35, and almost all of them are putting up the best seasons of their careers.
Unbelievable. I don't even know what you're supposed to learn from that. You know?
Yes.
I don't know. I want to take something from it, and I want to say, well, see, the Giants kept Buster Posey through some lean years, and now they've got him, and he's great, so the Cubs should have done it with Chris Bryant. But how can you bank on that? It's amazing what they're doing.
Well, I don't think they banked on it. I mean, look, if I were to give you my best guess, what do I think? I mean, the Giants are going to end up winning, what, probably like 104, something like that, in that range?
Mm-hmm.
If I were to give you my guess on how many games do I think the Giants internally projected, now there's variance in like a ceiling and a floor, but I would say that they probably internally projected to win 85 games.
A solid 20 games above projection.
They didn't know Logan Webb was going to turn into this, that Di Sclafani was going to be this good.
Yeah.
Like guy after guy after guy. Danny Boog did the Sunday night game with the Mets and the Yankees. Didn't you? When it got super spicy out there with Lindor and Stanton?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Stanton basically stopped a home run trot and walked over to Lindor.
On a football Sunday, you did this?
Yes, he did.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, he did.
On a football Sunday.
I'm just kidding.
Which of those, do the Yankees have a chance to, like, figure it out and make a run if they even get in?
I don't understand why they don't score. That's my biggest thing. That is the part that's confusing to me about the Yankees. As far as, you know, that, you know, on-field thing, it was fun. The other thing that was fun is, what Lindor was beefing about, Stanton didn't understand. Like, he wasn't talking shit. Sorry, I just did that.
You're good.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Good.
Roger Bozart.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. No.
He was. I mean, it just, yeah.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. He was. What was he doing? He was complaining about the whistling, right?
He was complaining about the whistling because he thought it. Now, again, there's nothing. If you're tipping pitches and then I whistle to the batter to tell him, there's technically nothing. You know, it's just inside the It's inside the game that guys don't, for whatever reason, don't tip your pitches, I guess, would be my main thought. But that's what he was saying. And what I just said, unfortunately, is what Stanton said. And he wasn't talking smack to him. He was saying, stop doing the whistle thing to, translate pitches to relay pitches. So they didn't understand that everybody was, mad and, benches are clearing. And then I don't know whether you saw Brett Gardner come out and give Javi Baez the thumbs down.
I did not see that.
It was funny.
Again, Football Sunday.
I love that New York fans
turned. They're all back in on him.
It took a day. It's seriously the shortest news cycle.
Look at his slash line. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he has been.
He sure has, man. I still think he's the one that's going to make sense here, but who knows? Really, Boog, how do you build a team this offseason if you're Jed Hoyer? Like, they don't have to strip it all down and build it back up slowly over a couple years. They've got some interesting pieces. They've got some pieces in the bullpen. Also, I think the rules might change where it's not even advantageous to do that anymore as soon as this coming offseason. It's going to be fascinating. I think there is a way for the Cubs approaching this offseason that they could get pretty good by the spring if they spend wisely. Like, I don't think, depending on how they do it, there's a way there, isn't there? I think there's a path to decency that doesn't have to go that far backwards.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to go backwards, but I also don't think that a path to decency is what they're interested in. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I think that they're trying to find something that's the building block, something sustainable for them being great would be my thought. But I do think that I'm very interested to see, the collection of shortstops out there. Could you get one of them for, maybe a, under what you thought the market was going to pay them or something along those lines. So I'm curious to see what they end up doing, but there's certainly a lot of options. There aren't that many pitching options. That's the only thing. There aren't a ton of pitching options.
No, there's a bunch of like 29 to 31 year olds who have been sort of broken, like Noah Syndergaard, come on down. Let's see what you got.
Yikes.
Well, it's a high end arm if he's healthy though.
Are you guys both Bears fans?
Yeah, football fans and gambling fans, or at least from my end. But, I'm rooting for Justin Fields to play. That's what I'm rooting for. What about you?
Yeah, I get it. They threw the football down the field a lot on Sunday, huh?
Yeah, it was a tough watch. It was like a baseball game on offense. It was a difficult watch.
Yeah.
Bunch of singles hitters.
What about
on
you?
That offense.
You like football?
I don't. I mean, not in any active way. Like, I'll watch it. I mean, my biggest thing is nobody knows what they're watching. Like, they don't know. Nobody knows what they're watching. That's my I'm a little clinical, but, like, for everybody to just sit there and your ability to know stuff in the other sports is so much greater. Like, just because nobody watches Point of Attack. They watch the ball. So nobody has a real good opinion on who's a good offensive lineman because nobody watches the offensive line. Nobody knows if the interception is thrown, whether the quarterback threw it to the wrong spot or the wide receiver ran the wrong route because we don't have the playbook. Like, there's just so much stuff that everybody's just kind of guessing on. And now that said, like, if you guys want to go watch some football in the off season, I'm definitely down, like a social thing. But I don't,
But in terms of living this life and talking about it all week, you're not that interested.
Yeah, that's right. No, because I would say that sport, I would, and I'm curious what Captain Pomposity over there would say. But I think it's an invitation to say stupid stuff. That sport.
Have you listened to sports talk radio ever?
Yeah, I mean, I did it. But I'm saying, like, at least, you're doing, like, why do you use that reliever in the eighth? You can have that, like, that conversation with,
I think that you're underselling the analytical wave that has come into football that certainly baseball was first at, where there are more resources now, like a Pro Football Focus or a Football Football Outsiders,
well, sure, but
or All 22 film.
But the All 22, even if you do the All 22 and you watch it, or you, somebody breaks it down for you, you still have to wait for the coach or the player to admit that something happened.
But I mean, that's
way.
No right. different.
There's
than,
a lot of secret stuff.
But is there not that in baseball? We think that we just know everything, that all the, like, we think that David Ross just tells the truth all the time, and like, you know, they cover things up, and you know, he missed a spot, but
I think you're sort of changing the scope of it. But as a general idea, no, I think that football, like, if you talk to people that have covered both sports, they'll tell you that in football, they effectively, with the writers and the media people, look to actively disinform.
Yes.
And in baseball, there is a culture of, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you what's happening.
That's true. That is true. Football people lie to live. It's why I advocate for us to never play the press conferences on the air. I think it is complete nonsense what they say. I love the viewing product of it. The entertainment product of football is, to me, it's one game a week. Every game matters a great deal. It's one of 17. Yeah. There is, you know, this crazy thing called a clock.
No, there's weight to it, for sure.
No, but I love Boog just armed me for our next My Sport versus Your Spark conversation. He's so right. The culture of, let me explain that to you so we can get smarter together in baseball, as opposed to the culture of, yeah, you don't know and you'll never know and I don't want you to know. So go away in football.
Yeah, because there's a game plan.
Because
there's strategy.
Because it's war.
It's a battlefield.
It's a battle.
It's the battlefield. Well, you know what? You just need to want it more, Maddie. That's all.
That's absolutely right. Well, yeah, let's watch some football in the offseason. That'd be fun. I'll teach you about the game.
I like it. That sounds great. You needed to deliver that just with a little more drama and a little more condescension.
Hey, but I was leaking confidence through the punchline.
No, you went too fast. You went too fast.
I did.
Didn't have the oomph to it.
It's on the face. If you're on Twitch, you saw the condescension in the glance.
That's
that always
true.
Helps.
I had the punchline before I delivered it. It's like, this is going to be
good. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, you got sloppy. You got quick and lazy, and it's all right. You'll have another chance.
That's true. At a bar over some beers for a Thursday night game. Boog, thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Love you guys.
You're the best.
Thank you. That's Boog Shambi with us from the Marquee Sports Network, cursing on the air. It's good stuff.
Screw that guy on Twitch that said, can we get a producer? Buddy, it doesn't work like that. On the stream, you get it. There's no dump button for the stream.
That I was trying
evil
to explain
Twitch,
that to them.
Yeah, moron.
Can I get a producer? What does that even mean?
Dump him.
Because they heard him drop the S word on there.
I hope that if people are on Twitch and are seeing Danny, they would perhaps understand why when this text came in from Peoria, Matt, every single one of us here on the show
it's a great text.
Was just dying. Peoria Matt says, just got on the Twitch stream. Does Danny have a skateboarding appointment?
It's a great text.
He's wearing a loose-collared T-shirt.
There's no collar.
Yeah. And a white, non-fitted baseball cap backwards. It looks like Dennis the Menace.
Well, he looks like one of the kids in the educational videos about drugs you watch in grade school. Hey, man, you ever try any weed? It'd be cool if you did.
Okay. Shane, what do I look like?
You look like an extra from Disney original channel movie Brink.
All right, I like it. You guys are doing a good job here. What does Parkins look like?
It's just
hat
but
is really nice, by the way. It's a melon hat. It's very, very stylish. It's very in.
Fix your melon? Is that what it's called? Fix your melon?
M-E-L-I-N.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Melon. But anyway, I don't know if you notice this, Danny. We're wearing basically the same thing today, just different colors, and nobody has said the same about me.
No, it's the white. It's the fact that it's white.
It's a great hat.
It looks brand new.
It is brand new. Okay. I got it in Big Sky.
It also looks mesh. But
that's what the hat's
my favorite
like.
Part about the text is the word appointment. Yeah. Skateboarding appointment.
North Shore Winnetka frat boy.
Not from Winnetka, not in a frat.
Like he's like, let's see. Let me make my skateboarding appointment for 5:45.
Right after I spike my tips. Yeah, it's not good, okay? It's going to be fine. I like the hat.
Your tips or frost your tips?
Frost your tips. spike your
frosted tips.
Spike your frosted tips.
Frost your spikes.
That was what it was.
A bit later on.
Tip your frost.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Mm. All right. Good job, Peoria, Matt. If you don't get on the Twitch line and tell
I did one of those earlier.
Did I?
Was it to Euclid? It might have been to you.
Yeah, maybe.
Coming up next. This was such a hit last time.
No, it's going to be better. It's going to be better.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was decent, but this is going to be better because you're going to follow directions.
Okay. Parkins versus Parkins.
It was kind of between both of you last time.
He went the whole way. Once Danny did it, I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm misremembering. Damn it, Danny.
That's right.
Bad idiot.
Also, you're welcome for dinner, you guys. It's on me.
And thanks for lunch.
Hey.
Thank you for lunch, by the way.
You're welcome.
That was nice. Also, the dinner thing doesn't really work unless we're the one thanking you.
Oh, yeah.
You can't. It's not a you're welcome thing.
Okay. Well, thanks for the coffee, guys. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Danny, thanks for the coffee. I mean, I just got water. It was free.
Yeah, neither did I. Danny making us run an errand for him. I think that's what it was. He told us we couldn't
it's
even get
not
coffee.
Not what happened.
He gave us, it was weird. Speaks coffee was like 6:35. Danny gave us six singles and two quarters. Like, this isn't enough for us.
Nailed it.
Not what happened. You say, I don't even need to correct the record. You guys are just so obviously lying. To make me a bad guy, I'm going to just sit here in my white backwards hat and go skateboarding. It's Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel. Next on the score.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's time for Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel.
It's something. It's a newer type of situation. And
I'm confused. I've been hearing it, like, I feel like just this year.
All right, I'm going to tell you.
The segment where Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel pick NFL games against not only each other, but their own family.
Owen, time to make some football picks.
Judging by, like, the actual animals, the Rams would probably win on, like, a mountain or something. But on regular flat land, the bear would probably win.
Just fathers and sons bonding over gambling on football.
Where's my money, Dad?
I left it in there.
What? How could you do that, Dad? It was my money.
That's bad money. I don't want you to have that money.
Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel on the Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score.
It's our new pick segment where the supposed sports and gambling experts pick games against our 19-month-old and 9-year-old, respectively. You know the office pool where Janice in accounting always wins? We'll see if we can beat our offspring.
Oh, my God! Yes, and my 9-year-old getting into it now. Getting into it. Every week, I think there's going to be a slightly different angle as he thinks about this and he understands what's at stake here, because I told him whoever wins among the four of us at the end of the year is going to get some serious cash.
That's good. You got to entice him with some money.
Correct.
That's how gambling works.
Right.
Unfortunately for you, you had a losing record in week one.
Damn
one,
it.
1-2 against the spread.
Hmm.
Owen, Ruben, and myself all went 2-1 against the spread. So for Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel, I guess I should go first?
Yeah, you go first. You get the first pick, and then we'll hear from Owen and me and Roopster.
Okay, with my first pick on the board, I will lay the 3 points with the Buffalo Bills in Miami. I think that
All right, hold on. What does that mean again? Remind me what lay the points means, because I'm keeping track over here. Is that Miami +3 or -3?
Bills -3.
Thank you, Danny.
Bills -3. It would be Miami +3, but I'm on Buffalo, so I have Buffalo winning the game by 4 points or more. I think that while the Dolphins' defense is good, the Bills' offense played arguably the best in the NFL in Pittsburgh. I expect them to have an offensive bounce back this week. Home field advantage, not that significant in the NFL. I will take the Bills -3. Owen, very disinterested this week. We'll see what my 19-month-old first pick is against the spread.
Hey, Owen, you were 2-1 last week.
No.
Yes, you were. Owen, let's pick Buffalo and Miami. Miami -3. Who do you like in that game?
I hate my baby voice.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're not done yet. Who do you like this week?
Elmo.
We like Elmo still? What about Denver -6 against Jacksonville? Do you like Horsey? What does Horsey say?
Nay.
All right, nay. So I'm thinking we like the Broncos -6 against Jacksonville.
All right.
What is that baby voice, by the way?
I try to make him comfortable because if he, I'm recording off my phone, and he just wants to say hello and grab it. So I try to, you know.
Danny's legit purple right now.
Yeah, it's
we're exposing some parenting, some actual parenting moments.
Yeah.
There.
Well,
how's 3-2-1 magic going?
it's not happening.
I think what you're hearing is tenderness from Danny. It just sounds weird.
Yeah,
it's a baby voice I've never heard before.
It's a newer type of
baby voice situation.
Yeah. All right. Well, Broncos okay. -6 against Jacksonville is Owen's first pick.
That kid sounds adorable, though.
Thank you. He's an expert.
All right, my pick. The Saints and Carolina are battling. The Saints -3 over Carolina. Oh, yeah. Give me New Orleans. I am on the Jameis Winston train. Woo-hoo, free crab legs on the train, which is a nice touch. New Orleans ran the ball well, too. It wasn't just the passing. Alvin Kamara and Tony Jones had 133 yards on 31 carries combined. Jameis ran for 37 yards himself. I know Carolina's D was good against the Jets, but that's the Jets. Nah, Saints away from home again, as they will be for a while. Don't care. Saints laying the 3 over Carolina is my first pick.
I see 3.5 in most places.
Okay, hold on. Still, what does laying the points mean? Is that plus or minus?
Minus.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Well, you could have
my
the,
bad.
The, you could
I
have
thought
the,
if you learned it 3 minutes ago, you still knew it now. My bad.
See how much easier that is? Just say Saints
-3. Okay.
See how easy that is?
Yeah, I forgot. I thought maybe you retained information.
It was Friday, dude.
You could also just have the spread up in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. You know? If you like
big
sports,
finger guy over
like
here,
those
you point
sports.
A thumb every now and again.
All right, you want to make it 3.5? Is that what you want to do?
Well, that's what the spread is.
Well, so, yeah. That's not what I see over here, but that's fine.
Okay.
Saints -3.5.
What's that on morefavorablespreads.com?
ways to get Spiegs to win.edu is what I have here.
What is your offspring picking?
Speaking of Spiegs, here's Ruben's first pick.
All right, Ruben, you ready to make your NFL picks?
Yep.
Okay, first game. Buffalo at Miami.
Miami.
Okay, any reason why?
Well, they have won more this year, but Buffalo has won more last year. But I'm still going with Miami.
Sounds good. Okay.
That's solid reasoning. Miami has won a game this year. Buffalo won more last year, but, you know.
Yeah. So me and Ruben are on opposite sides of this one.
Yeah, you are.
I am doing -3 with Buffalo. I was going to say laying the 3, but
yeah, don't say that.
Don't say that. Don't say
keep
that.
It simple.
Okay.
So the line, Miami +3.5, right?
+3.
Okay, I thought laying means you had a half.
God.
What about the hook?
Oh, no, don't get him started.
I got
there.
The hook this time.
The hook is.
Okay.
All right.
Minnesota +3 in the hook, 3.5 against Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, I think. Week one, overreaction. People think Arizona looks like complete world beaters and Minnesota's trash. Too many penalties for Minnesota last week. Still easily could have won that game against Cincinnati. I think Dalvin Cook will be able to run all over Arizona. I think that Minnesota keeps that game close or wins on the road. I like the Vikings +3.5. What is Owen like for game number two?
Owen, let's pick Buffalo and Miami.
I already did that one.
Miami -3.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you like in that game?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're not done yet. What are you drinking?
What is that?
Wawa.
Wawa? That's your water. The Miami Dolphins kind of have water. All right, I guess you like Miami.
Perfect.
This is a disaster.
What do you mean? It's a disaster. How would you like me? He doesn't know what a dolphin is. Yeah. He doesn't know what a bill is. How would you like me to get him to pick games?
Yeah, it's a good question.
That has audio components.
Good question.
Because I could have him pick up pieces of paper on the ground, but then he wouldn't be talking.
I think an either-or situation. We'll talk about it. I understand what's happening here. Okay, cool.
I'm glad you get it.
So Wawa with the Dolphins.
Wawa with the Dolphins.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And the point is randomness. He went 2-1 last week doing it his way. Don't change
the system. And
it's working. Yeah.
It's working. Don't break it. All right. I have the Rams at the Indianapolis Colts. What's the line that you have there, Pally? Oh, which one? Because I had -1 here for the Rams on the road.
Rams at Colts? Right now it is Colts +3.5.
Really?
Yeah. Where are you getting -1? I'm on FanDuel right now.
Okay. Yeah.
This has to be favorable lines for Spiegs.com.
No. I'm at oddsshark.com. But, you know.
Yeah, but you're looking. See that column on the left how it says opening?
Yeah.
You're looking at the opening line. Now look to the right, where all the present lines are.
Oh yeah.
See, you got to go off the present line. We're not doing. This isn't last Sunday.
Long time gambling guy.
Yeah.
All right. I'm big with that. All right. So the Rams are -3.5.
There you go.
And the Colts are +3.5. I think the Rams are for real on multiple levels. I know that the Colts, in their last 8 games as an underdog, are 0-8 straight up and 2-5-1 against the spread. I am not a Carson Wentz human by any stretch of the imagination. Give me the Rams on the road at the Colts -3.5 points. There you go, Shane. And now here with his second pick, Ruben Spiegel.
San Francisco at Philadelphia.
I think maybe I'll go with San Francisco.
Any reason?
I feel like they're more loved.
More loved by people?
Yeah.
I think that's true. I think that's true.
All right, so I think, do more people like the 49ers than the Eagles historically and in the moment? I mean, I think that's true.
They're nicer people in San Francisco than Philly.
But more loved. Like, a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon with Montana and Steve Young and everything. I would bet that there are more Niners fans than there are Eagles fans.
And I think Ruben was probably referencing Steve Montana when he was talking about them being more loved. And
or you also got a Or Hannah Montana.
Yeah, you got a from Ruben there.
Tony Montana.
All of them.
All right, Lamar Jackson's never beat Pat Mahomes. It was 3 earlier in the week. Now it's 3.5. That's fine. If Pat Mahomes is a 3-point favorite or less or an underdog, I automatically bet him. Chiefs -3.5 in Baltimore. What is Owen's third pick?
Mama likes the Chiefs. So you like the Chiefs over Baltimore?
Mama.
Okay, we'll go with the Chiefs over the Ravens.
The Ravens. I like Mimi.
Mimi. Yeah, that's your grandma. She also likes the Chiefs. That makes it...
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, yeah, that is a problem. Can you say bye?
Bye.
Oh, God, he's precious.
Yeah, so Chiefs -3.5 for Owen. So Owen's picks, if you want to follow my son, who's 19 months old at the window this weekend, Broncos -6, Dolphins +3, and Chiefs -3.5.
And that's what we're trying to prove here, that following Owen at the window is
just as
be
profitable as following me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Yeah. Well, you and I on the opposite sides of this one. So we'll be checking in the late game window on Sunday because I like Arizona -3.5 points
nice.
Against Minnesota. I mean, I thought the Vikings looked terrible as they scratched and clawed their way just to overtime. And I think, yeah, Arizona, that offense, man, give Kingsbury and give those guys a little time to figure it out in the offseason. And whew, that was impressive stuff. Give me Arizona -3.5 at home against Minnesota.
Okay. And now, the last one.
Last pick for Ruben Spiegel.
The Bears are hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. So the Bengals or the Bears, Cincinnati or Chicago?
Obviously Bears.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do Bears.
You do Bears?
Or are they like Cubs now? Or are they going down?
The Bears? Some people think they're going down, but we don't know yet, really.
Okay. Just in case, I'll do the other team.
You're flip-flopping? Look, you do what you want, but Cincinnati at Chicago.
Cincinnati.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude flip-flopped.
Yeah, he gave up real quick on Andy Dalton. Bengals +2.5. Dolphins +3, Niners -3 for Ruben Spiegel.
He knows the Cubs are going down.
Yeah.
So he's wondering, are the Bears going down?
It's a fair question.
Yeah. I mean, they're related. Cubs and Bears are related. So, yeah, there they are, the picks.
That's the second ever edition of Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel. Olin Krutz at 4 o'clock. Some cool events we need to tell you about happening this weekend if you want to support one of the members of the mob coming up on the score.
Tanny does a tremendous job with everything he touches.
Tanny, who is one of the greats in the game.
He is one of the greats in the game. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. And people can see Chris Tannehill out and about two different times, two different events, two different subjects altogether this weekend, Tanny.
Absolutely. So tomorrow I'll be at Dick's Sporting Goods out in Lombard for a score appearance. And it's a welcome back to football event. And it's going to be really cool. I'll be there from 2 to 4. That's 810 East Butterfield Road. And check this out. I just found this out today, but we're going to do an exclusive Chalk Talk with Bears great, one of the great Bears in my lifetime, Matt Forte. He's going to be there. I'm going to be interviewing him, and we'll have the crowd ask some questions to Matt.
So
it's going to be awesome.
So Matt Forte will be there at 2 o'clock tomorrow?
I'll be there too. Matt comes at 3.
3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. You get to interview Matt Forte tomorrow.
I do, yeah.
Person to person.
And say the location one more time.
It's Dick's Sporting Goods in Lombard, 810 East Butterfield Road. So I'm
just in
forward
case
to that.
People are more interested in seeing Matt Forte than you.
It's possible, sure.
We have to be open to that possibility. So we might, you know, so Matt Forte and Chris Tannehill will be at the Dick's Sporting Goods in Lombard tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. And your White Sox event?
Yes, we are teaming up, Herb and I, at the Locked On Sox podcast. We're going to be joining forces with our guys from the 108 for a live podcast taping for the 108's podcast. That's going to be at Ballpark Pub. That's at 5 o'clock, 514 West Pershing Road. It's blocks away from the ballpark, Pershing and Halstead. You know, come early for the taping. Then we'll be watching Sox and Rangers after that. But,
wow.
Yeah, man, if you want to come see us in the 108, just you talk baseball and, you know, roast on each other. That's where the place
Tanny's
to be.
Out there.
It's good to be Tanny.
Tanny's out there.
He's
man.
Out there doing live things with people.
I like it.
Not home doing chores by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, you don't think I was doing extra chores today to make up for the time I'll be out of the house?
Say, are you married with a kid? I don't even recognize that life. Olin Kreutz, is he worried that Khalil Mack has lost the step? What do you do against Joe Mixon when Eddie Goldman is now doubtful? A lot to get into with Olin next on The Score.